But Lord, we confess that we're not our own, but we belong to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you've redeemed us, and you've opened our eyes, and you've opened our hearts to see who you are. So we thank you that you have now called us to be that people who worship you in spirit and in truth. So we thank you for the privilege of knowing you, our living God, and knowing the way to praise you. We thank you as our provider, as you care for us each and every day, as you give us the sustenance of life, the breath of life. As you provide for our households, we know that we ought to always give you thanks, even for the things that we sometimes overlook, the shelter that we have, the food that we have, the fresh water that we can drink. Lord, we thank you for providing for us medications that we need when we're sick. Lord, that you give us sustenance in so many different ways for our flesh and blood, our bodies. But Lord, we also know that you've provided for us feasts for our souls and your goodness. And so, Lord, each and every day we pray that we would be thankful to you, that we would pause at our meals and remember that it comes from you, that we would pause at the very beginning of the day when we see the light of day, that we see the light of life, that we would give you thanks. And as we close out the days, Lord, may we rest our minds and our hearts with great thanksgiving that you've brought us through yet another day. Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Sometimes we take that for granted. But Lord, we recognize that were it not for the forgiveness of sins, that we would be doomed. We would have no relationship with you. Our lives now would be under your wrath, and we would be facing an eternity without you. But Lord, in your goodness and your mercy, you have forgiven sins through the precious blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there were no other praise on our tongues today, it would be thanks to you for your redeeming love that you've shown to us by sending your only begotten Son to bear our sins, to suffer and to die on the cross, so that we might be forgiven and reconciled to you. Lord, we thank you for the body of Christ and that you have put your people in a family. You've adopted your people through your Son, our Lord, into your kingdom household. But Lord, you've put us in a fellowship together. We thank you for the fellowship of the saints. And Lord, we pray that we would never take that for granted, that we would cherish the fact that you have bound us together in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that when we see one another and when we think of one another and we pray for one another, that we would do so with great thanksgiving, thinking about how the apostle so often thanked you for the congregations and the Christians that he was able to be with and support. And so, Lord, may we have thankful hearts when we consider the wonderful fellowship that you've given to us in Jesus Christ with one another. And Lord, we do pray for the body of Christ, and we ask that you would strengthen us, and Lord, that we would be thankful to you for all that you've provided for us. And Lord, we thank you again for our nation. Thank you for the way that you've provided for us so well. And Lord, while we recognize that many of those freedoms are certainly taken for granted and so much of your wisdom is so much cast aside, so many of your commandments sorely mocked in our nation, Lord, we are very thankful still for the great provision, for the great freedom, for the abundance of freedom, for the abundance of protection, for the care that you show to us in our nation, for the way that you provide for us. We give you thanks, and may it be that we would do so throughout the year as we think about the way that you've provided for us a harvest again this year. We thank you for the way that you sent the rain and the sun to provide what we needed to have a harvest. We thank you for the goodness that you've shown to us and all the provisions that you make. And Lord, as we give you thanks for all these things, we can't help but be mindful for those who don't appreciate or experience the great privileges that we have. We pray for those who still don't know you and don't know to thank you. Lord, we pray for mercy on their souls that they might see your love displayed in the Lord Jesus. We pray for those who just take all the earthly provisions for granted and forget that you are the creator and provider for your creation. May you open their eyes to see their dependence upon you for the very breath that they have. Lord, we pray for those who don't know the forgiveness of sins and the great emptiness that that brings, but also the danger in which they lie. Lord, let them see their desperate need for you. Pray for those who have cut themselves off from the body of Christ, even some who profess your name, who aren't thankful for the fact that there is a congregations that would embrace them and love them. Lord, we especially pray for the prodigals, that you would bring them home. Let them see the emptiness of the world and having cut themselves off from the body of Christ, how empty that is as well. And Lord, we do once again pray for our nation. And perhaps even today that many would pause and remember that this is so much more than a day off, than a day of feasting and food, but a day to recognize that we are utterly dependent upon you for all things. Lord, we come to you with these prayers, and we trust with thankful hearts as we come to you in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. If you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. And this is the word of God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble, and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of the bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his works to the children of men. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, parched land into springs of water, and there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing, they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. There ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. O Lord our God, you are good, and your word is good, and your word is truth, and we thank you so much for it. And Lord, as we turn our attention from your holy, inerrant, infallible word, the truth that you've spoken, to the preaching of your word, the way that you've ordained your word to be proclaimed, we pray that you would help us. Please send your Holy Spirit in a special way to the preacher, that you would sanctify the words that come from this pulpit. And please prepare each one of our hearts through the ministry of your Spirit to hear and receive from your word and to respond appropriately. And we come to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, the psalmist starts off by calling people to a general praise to God because he is good. God is good in his person, and he is steadfast in his love. If that weren't enough to give him praise for, then the psalmist wouldn't have to go any further. But he wants to spell out very good reasons for his people in particular to give praise. Everyone should give praise to God, for he is God, and he is good, and he is unchangeable, and his love is steadfast. But God's people, the redeemed people, have special cause to give him praise, to be quick to say so. Thanksgiving is to be a part of every Christian's life, a regular part of our lives. In fact, our whole lives are to be thank offerings to God. If we belong to him, our very lives are that thank offering to God. The psalmist calls all those on the face of the earth who have been redeemed by the Lord from the east and the west and the north and the south to come and praise the Lord. Come and praise the Lord. God gathering in his people, God redeeming people from out in the world, from trouble, wherever it may be, saved out of it, brought into the kingdom of God. Let them praise the Lord, God's people around the world. I love the fact that the psalmist uses that idea of north, south, east, and west, that idea of covering the whole earth in that wonderful prophetic vision of the multitudes being gathered in before the throne of God to worship him in his presence. Well, as we move forward in the psalm, we see that the psalmist gives at least four different examples of extraordinary cases of redemption and of deliverance. And I want us to see this morning if we can plug in to any of it. You ever run out of reasons to give thanks to God? Probably not. But the question is, how expressive are we? The psalmist's goal is to get people to thank the Lord, to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. See if you can plug into some of these things and see if there's not cause for thanksgiving. These are undoubtedly real life experiences, perhaps for real time issues for people that went through these things, but we don't know exactly what they were. But there's certainly things that have been written down in different places, not only in Scripture, if they're actual scriptural events, but if they're not actual events, but illustrative, then we've seen stuff like this throughout history, perhaps read things like this in books. But see if you can plug in to these things that I think are getting us to imagine what it's like to be delivered from such an awful situation and then apply those things to the spiritual realities behind them. Spurgeon puts it this way. He says, the psalmist mainly magnifies the Lord for spiritual blessings of which temporal favors are but types and shadows. So imagine their circumstances. See if you can relate to the conditions that they represent and the deliverance that they experienced, and then consider what your response would be. You see, most of us will probably never experience these things for real in our lives. Most of us probably will never wander around in a desert or be involved in a storm at sea. Maybe some of you have. Most of us probably won't. But our lives can be tumultuous. And the very fact of total depravity, of original sin, wreaks havoc on life itself. And so if we've been delivered from that, we have cause to give thanks. So we have these illustrative examples. Each one of them speaks of desperation, danger, impending death, utter cry to God for dependence, for deliverance, and then deliverance itself. Some of the scenarios have sin attached to them, others don't, but every situation is dreadful. Now, these people understood redemption, what it meant to be snatched out of great terror, great trouble, great danger, even death. We can look at this through the eyes of believers who know Jesus Christ and see that the actual Redeemer is Jesus himself. Well, first of all, those who are, wandering in the desert, those who are in a parched and dry and weary land, facing dehydration, dealing with hunger, they're longing for some kind of oasis, some kind of satisfaction. They're shriveling up. They're dying. And they need some kind of refreshment. Water, food. And they're longing for it. And they finally cry out to God for it. And God delivers them to a city where they find refreshment. With this oasis of a city, they find water and food. And they're refreshed and renewed. But it's that kind of refreshment and renewal where you want more. It was so good that you want more. I'm almost ashamed to say so, but when my brothers and I were younger teenagers, and we would eat our Thanksgiving feast, one of our traditions right after the meal was to go and lie down on the living room floor and moan a little while. But you can be sure that even while we were doing that with our blissfully full bellies, we were still looking forward to later on that night when the turkey sandwiches would come out, longing for more. It's that way with the Lord. When he satisfies our souls, when he satisfies our parched souls, when he fills our hungry souls, it's good and it's refreshing, but we want more. And here, Jesus is the one who is, in fact, isn't he, the living water, the bread of life? You know what it feels like if you've ever been really, really thirsty and you get a good cold drink of something. It's almost as if it fills every little part of your body. So refreshing. When you've been really hungry and you finally eat, maybe you're hangry, maybe you're weak, you finally get that food and you start to feel it invigorate your body. You're thankful. Well, if your soul has been satisfied that way at all, if your longing soul has been satisfied, your soul satiated, say so. Thank the Lord. Some were in dungeons of darkness, captivity, prisoners in the shadow of death. Picture this. They're in a dark dungeon and they're facing the death penalty. That's sort of fits the description of what the psalmist is saying here. They're in the shadow of death, but this shadow of death is in this bondage of a dungeon. They rebelled and now they're in bondage and cuffs and shackles, slaves to their own crimes against God and facing death. And they cry out to God, and he delivers them, and he shatters the bronze doors that are holding them in, and he cuts the iron bars in half, and they're set free for freedom. He sets the prisoner free. Christ sets the prisoners free. You can almost picture them coming out from being in this dark dungeon and seeing the light of day and sort of shielding their eyes from the beauty of the light, but at the same time just reveling in the sunshine and feeling that freedom. The cuffs taken off their wrists and the shackles off of their legs, and now they can walk freely. Set free in Jesus Christ. That's what we experience in redemption. If you've been set free in Christ from the bondage of your sin, say so. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Some were in distress because of their sinful folly. They're in anguish of soul and in mind. Sinful folly brings this distress, maybe even depression, this sense of destruction, this imminent fear of death or fear of imminent death that seems to loom over those who are in this distress and sinful folly. It's interesting to me that the psalmist says these don't even want nourishment, unlike those who are wandering in the desert who are longing and thirsty and hungry. These are so caught up in their anxieties and their fear and their despair that they don't even feel like eating. They don't even want that sustaining nourishment. They're ready to waste away in their sickness and their sorrow. I have a friend who is dealing with some very severe mental and physical struggles lately. Thank God he was delivered from them, but he got in a place where he basically stopped eating. And our fear was more that he was going to starve himself to death than anything else. He just didn't want to eat. His grief had so consumed him. But they cry out to God, and God delivers them and heals them. You notice he says, by his word. God heals him by his word. And there's this wonderful transformation. Now they give thanksgiving. Now they sing songs of joy. Christ delivered them from oppression, and he delivers from oppression, and he heals. He heals afflicted souls, and he delivers afflicted minds. And sometimes he even delivers us from physical afflictions as well. Finally over this serious illness. If you've ever been delivered from a serious illness, if you've ever been cured of an ongoing disease, spared a bad prognosis, given a new lease of life, we might say, you're very thankful. You have a new outlook on life. Well, think of your souls that way. If you've been delivered from life-sapping burden of sin, say so. Give thanks to the Lord. He's delivered you. Well, finally, there are those who are fearing the storm, the deluge, the fear of drowning. Fear of drowning. These, says the psalmist, were simply going about their business on ships. Probably hardy sailors, fishermen, seeming to be fearless, but there's one thing that all sailors fear, and that is being plunged into the depths of the sea. They go about their business on ships, but suddenly this dreadful storm, this dreadful danger comes, and life can be that way. But here the horrors of storms on the sea come their way. You've read about them. We read about them in the Bible. Stories of Jonah. Read about them in history. People on the Mayflower dealt with some terrible storms on their way over. One man even fell off and nearly drowned, was snatched out of the water. Read stories like Moby Dick and the storms in there. The true story is even worse than the novel. and the storms that they faced and the trials that they faced at sea. Think of the story put to song so popular around here of the Edmund Fitzgerald and the terrible storm that they faced on that ship. Come back to the Bible and think about the apostles on their boat in the storm, terrified at what was going to happen to them. And then think about the Apostle Paul and his shipwreck. Being on the ocean, being on the sea, being on a river, being on the water, anywhere, when a storm hits is absolutely terrifying. And the psalmist describes this situation for these people in graphic terms. Look at verse 26. He's talking about the seas and the stormy wind lifting up the waves of the sea, mounting up to heaven and plunging down to the depths. So terrifying that their souls were melting away. They cried out to the Lord and he delivered them. Said to the storm, "Peace be still. Peace be still." Brought to safe haven. Have you ever experienced anything crazy like a storm on the water? Maybe more than likely than that, you've maybe experienced a flight in a plane that was turbulent, maybe even really scary, and you land either on the land from your boat or from the sky in the landing strip, and you want to kiss the ground. You want to thank the Lord, and you want to kiss the ground. These who were delivered from this terrible storm gave thanks to the Lord. They were delivered from near death. And Christ delivers us from the trials and the tumult of life that come from our sinful rebellion. If you've been delivered by Christ from the tumult of your sin, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Couldn't help but when I was thinking about this section of the psalm of Charles Wesley's song, that actually, if played right and sung right, you can feel the ocean. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past, safe into the haven guide. O, receive my soul at last. What has been your experience? Have you experienced any of that agitation, that turmoil, that dryness, that bondage, that distress, that storm of sin, that storm of life? Any of those things that come to you in your life? Has God ever given you peace by delivering you out of those things? Some of us may come from lives that could very well be described as any of these things. Some come from more peaceful kinds of life. But no matter what, to have been delivered from the havoc and the turmoil and the destructiveness of original sin and total depravity through Jesus Christ is something for which anyone who is redeemed should be very thankful, and we should say so. The last part of this psalm gives thanks to God in the midst of sovereign providences, good things and bad things, abundant provision, harvests like we usually experience, or times of leanness and dryness. That in those times, even the destitute who are redeemed and in Christ can still give thanks. God's people are called to give thanks in all circumstances. The redeemed see it. The redeemed see it and acknowledge it. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. But whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. If you're redeemed today, say so. Proclaim it, declare it. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And his steadfast love is known perfectly through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are good. You are so good. And all you do is good. Your steadfast love endures forever, and we testify to that today. Lord, you have brought us from the horrors, the terror of original sin, of total depravity, of wandering around without a home, of being in a dungeon of darkness, of being in distress and sinful folly, ready to be swept away by the waves of life and even the waves of your wrath. But in your mercy, you've spared us, brought us from wandering into your own household, delivered us from darkness into your marvelous light, brought us from ignorant, godless folly to wisdom that comes from above, saved us from the terrible waters of destruction and self-destruction, and put us on the solid rock, our Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you this morning for the redemption that you've shown and for all the provision that you make for us. We give thanks to you. You are our God, you are good, and your steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 98, Now Thank We All Our God, and we'll please stand when we sing.